of the book of Romans. It's taken a while, but I think it's been good. So let's look at Romans chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becomes saints, and that you assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved, in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus's household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. All right, let's have a word of prayer.
And don't turn back, keep going forward. Because this church, in the Church United, those who are praying around the world, we are the church. We are the church. You are Pauling. This is my home, and I'm glad I came here. Mark, keep the good work up. And I'm going to sing, maybe, because of all the things that I've gone through, it is well with my soul.
Day when the faith shall be sad, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so,
God.
Amen. All right, we're looking here in Romans chapter 16. And you might, there's a lot of names here, right? Oh, my goodness. This last chapter of Romans reveals the heart of the Apostle Paul for people. It shows his genuine love and sincere interest in others. Even though at this time he had never been to Rome, he mentions at least 26 people by name and then refers to quite a number of others in some of the churches there in Rome and sends them his special greetings. He must have met some of them somewhere else. He had never been there himself, some other city, perhaps in Corinth where he was writing from, or in some other place in the empire. But notice he did not forget them. He remembered them. And remembered their names. He remembered something about them and what they had done and how they were such a blessing to him. Paul placed a great deal of emphasis on Christian oneness and friendship. For example, we see he said earlier, we are members one of another, one body in Christ. As he says in another place in Romans, be kindly affectioned to one another. Be like-minded toward one another. Our Christian unity, so important. We be of one mind and heart. He says, receive one another. This is in chapter 15, verse 7. He says, wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You know, the Lord is willing to take anybody who is willing to come, right? I'm glad for that, aren't you? Whosoever will may come. And when we should receive one another in that same way. It says admonish one another. Someone gets a little out of line, you see that? You kindly, graciously admonish them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, we don't practice this ordinarily, right? I know in Italy they did. I went to the church there, and they would cake and kiss you on both cheeks, sometimes the whiskers, you know, kind of bad. But anyway, we had a good time. And greet one another with a holy kiss. Today we use, well, we don't always even use a handshake. Bump, right? You have to, what is that, a speed bump? What is that called? Anyway, we greet one another and make sure that we understand who we are and so forth. It was customary in Paul's day to greet friends by kissing them on both cheeks, just like they still do in many countries. But here, of course, we don't do that. But for the believers, Paul urged that they be more than an empty gesture, you know. When you greet somebody, be sincere about it, you know. Ask about their needs and whatever, and pray for them. We need to do that more frequently. Have a genuine interest in one another. Now, Paul begins his list here, his commendation of Phoebe. Now, this is the only place in the Bible, as far as I know, that Phoebe is mentioned. But Paul is commending her for the work that she does. And I noticed, if you like alliteration, he says here that she's a sister, a servant, and a succorer. Now, what in the world is a succorer? Do you know what that is? Anyway, we'll find out. So he introduces her in this way. Phoebe was a believer from the church at Cenchrea, the port city of Corinth, about 8 miles east of the city. And her name means bright or radiant. Okay? Apparently, Paul sent the letter to the Romans with Phoebe. She's the one who delivered it. She was going to Rome on some business, and so Paul gave her this wonderful epistle to take along with her. And she's called the servant of the church. That word is the same word that's used like for a deacon, the deaconess. So she could have had an office like that, or perhaps she was just one who was very active in the church, serving the Lord faithfully. But she was called a servant of the church. And then Paul exhorts the church in Rome to receive her as a fellow believer in the Lord and to help her with whatever need she might have. She had helped many others, including Paul himself. That's what it means by succorer. It's a helper, someone who comes to the aid of others. And so she's was that kind of a person, someone who was very useful in the ministry of the church. So, and then Paul begins his list here of the Roman believers that he knew. And it's amazing that he knew so many of them, even though he had never been there himself. He starts off with Priscilla and Aquila. You might have heard these names because they appear several times in the scriptures. In Acts chapter 18, for example, let's take a look there for a moment. Acts chapter 18 And verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought or worked, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So Paul was a tent maker, and Aquila and Priscilla had the same occupation. So they, I think, it sounds like they stayed together, perhaps lived in the same place, and did the work of making tents and other kinds of material like that. Anyway, they also went later with Paul on his missionary journeys. They were very active believers, and it speaks about them having a church in their house. Now, you know, back in the early days, up until the 3rd century, there were no church buildings like we have here. They're all met in homes. And so everywhere Aquila and Priscilla went, they would gather people together in their home, and they would have the meetings there in their home. They opened it up every time, various places where they were, and now they had returned to Rome. I guess things had cooled down a little bit with the persecution, so they were able to return to Rome, and now they had a church meeting there in their home. Wonderful couple. There was that evangelist that came to town at one place, I think it was in Corinth, Apollos, one of the other preachers, and he was teaching, but he didn't have a full knowledge of everything he needed to know. He was still following after what John the Baptist was saying, and so Priscilla and Aquila took him aside and taught him more fully what the scriptures was teaching and what Paul had taught them. So they were very active people. And he says, my helper is in Christ Jesus, verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks. They risk their life in order to help Paul. So it was someone who was very dear to him. And he says, I give thanks for them, but then also all the churches of the Gentiles. So they were very important to him. So this is Priscilla and Aquila. Then he goes on to mention all these other names. There's a lot of names here. Where was I? Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, he says, is a well-beloved brother and first fruits of Achaia. That means he was the first convert in the province of Achaia there in Greece. And so Paul remembered him as being the very first one. When he went in and preached the gospel, this is the man said, yes. Yes, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. So he remembers him. Then he goes on in the next verse, speaking about Mary, has a very common name, probably a Jewish lady who was saved. And it says she bestowed much labor on us. This was the lady that did a lot of work in making sure everybody was comfortable and working like Martha. You remember Martha with Jesus, preparing all the meals and everything. And so this is Mary's job here. Then he mentions Andronicus and Junia in verse 7. It says, my kinsmen. Now here, most of the commentators say that this probably means that they were fellow Jewish people, not necessarily, you know, his blood relatives, but those that were of the same nation. My fellow prisoners. So these are some that went to prison for their faith with Paul. It says, who are of note among the apostles. So these were people that were well known among the other leaders in the churches. He says, who also were in Christ before me. So before Paul was even converted, these people had already come to Christ And so they helped him along the way with all of his with all of his ministry. That was, verse 12. Let's skip a little bit. You can see these other names for yourself. Don't want to stay the whole day here, do we? No. Okay. So verse 12, it says, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. They think that these probably were twin ladies. They have names that sort of rhyme, and they someone at least has said that perhaps they were twins. And in this whole list of people here, there are at least 9 women, or even more, that are mentioned in this chapter, showing that Paul appreciated the work of these servants of the Lord. You know, some people seem to think that Paul put women down, you know. But no, he didn't put them down. He appreciated all the wonderful work that they do. And where would the church be today if the ladies weren't around? You tell me. We'd be in sad shape, wouldn't we, folks? Yes. And so Paul appreciated that. According to his teaching, men had the main responsibility of preaching and leading the church. But women also have an important place in the Lord's service and back up everything that's going on and keeps everything moving in the right direction and takes care of so many things. And verse 13, it says, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Huh. Rufus, who is Rufus? Let's look back at Mark 15, I believe it was. Where was it? Mark? Yes. And verse 21. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. This is the man that the Romans forced to carry the cross for Jesus, Simon. He was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, Mark was writing basically to the Roman church himself, and he mentions these men, Alexander and Rufus, as being well known among them. And so probably it's the same Rufus that was the son of Simon, the man who carried the cross for Jesus. That opens up a lot of things to think about, isn't it? What happened in that family by his being conscripted to carry the cross of Christ? What difference did that make in his life and in his family? And then Paul says, and his mother and mine. In other words, Rufus's mother was like a mother to Paul. Now, where they had met, we don't know. Perhaps in Jerusalem. That's where Simon was, you remember, carrying the cross for Jesus. Perhaps this is who it is. At any rate, we can just guess at that, but it's interesting to see that the same name popping up here. And then he goes on with these others, and a number of other names, all these names, it's kind of hard to pronounce. But anyway, he says, salute them, greet them with a holy kiss. There it is again. And the churches of Christ salute you. So he closes out that part of the salutations to all these people and greetings, wanting to acknowledge as many as possible for the work that they do. And that's so important, you know. We should acknowledge what people do, and we should seek to encourage, build up those who are serving so faithfully. And that's what he's seeking to do here. Then he changes a little bit in verse 17. He gives a warning. You know, Paul's a preacher. He has to warn people. So here we are. He's talking here just for a couple of verses. He says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. First of all, mark them, he says. Be careful who you're listening to, what they're saying, what are they teaching, are they in tune with the scriptures, or are they going off base somewhere, you know? Be careful. He says mark them, and they're there. You just listen a little bit, you'll find out. They're there. So he says, be careful. Don't follow their direction. They cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. So doctrine is important, isn't it? We need to know what we believe, why we believe it, and don't allow anyone to change what we believe from the Word of God. It's important. So he says, mark them, and then he says, avoid them. Oh, is that bad, you know? Avoid somebody? Oh, my goodness. Isn't that terrible? No, not always. Because we can be led astray. And we need to follow the Good Shepherd and make sure that we're in line with him and not with anyone else. Satan and his cohorts are always seeking to divide and conquer and cause all kinds of problems. Notice it says in verse 18, for they that are such, those who cause divisions and offenses, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. That's quite an accusation. They might claim to, but they don't. They serve their own belly for their own profit. You know, they want to build themselves up. He says, no, don't get involved with that kind of people. By good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. So he says, don't allow that to happen. Stay on the right track, you know? Just stay with the Word of God. Stay with the teachings of the apostles. And don't allow anyone to turn you aside. They can give a fair speech, it says, and deceive the hearts. Who is the deceiver? Satan, right? All the way since the Garden of Eden, he's been deceiving people. Very slyly, and we have to be very careful. And verse 19, it says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. We know who you are. He says, you've got a good reputation, you know. You have been obedient to the Lord. Just continue right on in that way. I'm glad on your behalf. But yet I would have you, notice what he says, I would have you wise unto that which is good. Learn all you can that's good, right? And simple concerning evil. You don't need to get involved with evil, with sin. Stay away from it. You know? Just let them call you what they want. You're naive or whatever. Stick with the Word of God. And don't allow anything to happen. And then it says, verse 20, he's hitting here the real deceiver. God, the God of peace, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You see? Just keep on. The Lord will bring everything to pass that needs to be done. The God of peace. Isn't that what we want? Don't you enjoy having peace in your heart? Huh? Let God be God, and he'll bruise Satan under your feet. Says something about that over in Genesis, doesn't it? He's going to bruise his side of something, and the other is going to crush him under his feet. Jesus won the victory. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Oh, yes. And let's finish this up. The last part is greetings from Paul's companions, some of the people that he was with. They already commended the people there in Rome, and now he's talking about some of these, and I'll just mention them back a little bit. Time's getting away from us. Timothy. We all know who Timothy is, right? We've got two epistles here in his name. And the one who was Paul's a faithful co-worker. Let's look just for a minute in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 19. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. So, Paul considered Timothy his son in the faith and one that was so faithful to him and to the work of the Lord. Then it mentions here Tertius in verse 22, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Now, Paul didn't write it himself. You know, some people think that Paul probably had an eye problem. He couldn't really see that well to write. He's one place it says he wrote with large letters to sign this one epistle. But here Tertius is one of the men who was like a secretary. He was writing what Paul dictated to him, and here he's giving his greetings. And then it mentions Gaius, my host. So this is a man who had opened up his home to Paul and his company, and it says, and of the whole church. So he probably had a church meeting in his home as well. So this is a man who was generous and willing to be hospitable in bringing people in and helping them to be encouraged in the Lord. Then it mentions just a couple of other men here, someone who's important there at Corinth, Erastus, the treasurer of the city. So here's someone that was in politics, I guess, and yet God was able to reach him and bring him to himself. And then he mentions Quartus, a brother. So that's the ones he mentions. He's sending greetings from them to the people in Rome. And then he closes out with this final benediction, beginning here in verse 25. The prayer of Paul. He says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Amen. May it be so. May he receive all the honor and glory and praise from each one of us. May God speak to our hearts and encourage us one for the other and rejoice in all of his goodness to us.